Good morning and welcome from my side. Thanks to the worship team for the great worship. I'm really blessed just to be in church this morning. For me and my family as well, I think the last 2 or 3 months was quite hectic and busy and being in a lot of places and doing a lot of things. Involved with some of our network churches and that kind of stuff as well. So this week, I remember Monday and Tuesday, I just sat in at my desk and started, that little pamphlet you fill in if you're a new visitor and all that kind of stuff, phoning everyone and so on. But I was just so blessed when I did that. It's because when I phoned these people and I asked them, okay, so I saw you fill in a little card, and they said, yes, they've been there like twice or three times already. And so I asked them, okay, but so do you want to get involved in a cell group? No, they're already in this cell group. They're already in that cell group. So I just basically want to praise you guys this morning. Because you see, that's what church is all about. I think so often we get into a place where we think, no, the pastor must do everything and must sort out everything. But for me, looking at this 2-3 months, what I could really see is the church actually standing up. The church fulfilling its role. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. The church is not a pastor. The church is a group of people working together, building God's kingdom together. And it just really blessed me. It's like when I phoned the next one, same story, phoned the next one, same story. And I just told Anna Marie, it's like, it's happening. You know, the church is standing up. This is what's supposed to happen. So can you give yourself a hand clap this morning? Yeah, no, I think at the end of the day, all of us, we really need each other. And when we do something or build kingdom, we need to be able to build it together. One of the places I've been, I was just outside of Windhoek's Rock Lodge. I think that was 2 weeks ago. And we were about, it's a lot of churches were invited, all the churches of Namibia were invited for that. And there was about 80 churches represented, 40 of which were in churches from Windhoek. And even that, now we're at a stage with this other churches, the 40 of us together, of looking at the road ahead and asking the questions of, okay, but how are we supposed to work as one? What is church supposed to look like? Because too often you hear people from the outside looking at church and they're labeling it as something bad, saying, but you guys can't even work together. And now you want to invite us into that. And I really feel that God is challenging the church to be able to work as one. Because in the end of the day, it's by the love that we've got for each other, by that we'll be known as Christians or as disciples of Jesus. So I really feel it's exciting times, living in these times, seeing God pulling his body or his church together, and to put the focus on him and his kingdom more than on anything else. So yeah, this morning I want to talk about the topic of my sermon is what is in your hand. I think I want to start by telling you about this little boy. There was this little boy, and he's playing in the living room of the house. And so he's sitting there on the carpet, playing there, and he spot there under the coffee table, there's something shining. So typical little boy, the hand in there pulls it out, and it's a coin. So he takes this coin and he rubs it a little bit against himself. And before his mother could say anything, he put it in his mouth and he swallowed it. But in that moment, mother jumps up, kind of hysterical, and just screaming, and with the screaming, getting the attention of everyone in the house. And everyone is like, what's going on? And she's now, you just swallowed a coin. But she's screaming, call the pastor, call the pastor. And they like, why the pastor? Why not the doctor? And she replies, no, there's no one more qualified to get money out of people than a Pentecostal pastor. So this morning, what I want to do is I'm going to talk on money and on finances. But the focus this morning is not to get money out of you. The focus this morning is really to I almost want to say to help you or to invite you into a place of freedom when it comes to finances and when it comes to money. Because I think so many of us, we're in bondage when it comes to our finances. And the problem is, it's one of the topics that we don't really talk about it. We don't tell other people when we struggle with finances. And the Bible is so full of scriptures regarding finances. Jesus never stood back when it came to finances. He was very openly talking about it. But we normally, we don't like to talk about it. And I think it's because we don't like to talk about it that we are in bondage so often when it comes to this topic. So this morning, the way I see it is almost just like a conversation starter. And the focus this morning, I don't want to put it as much on tithes and offerings and alms and all that kind of stuff and how it's supposed to work and all of that. What I rather want to do this morning is just to talk a little bit about our perception of money, our perception of how it works, and if I may call it this way, our relationship with money, what that's supposed to be like. So I basically want to start by saying that there's like a question or two that we're going to answer this morning. And that question is, how do we see money, or what is it to you? So you can think by yourself, how do you see money, or what is it to you? So to get to the answer of that, I want to ask another, there's like three questions I want to ask, and we're going to look at some scriptures here. The first one, is money something evil? You know, a lot of times you'll hear Christians saying, but you know, money, you must just stay away from money, it's bad, it's not good, it's money is for the world, it's not for the Christians, those kind of things. That makes you kind of wonder, okay, so is money something evil? And the scripture I want to read is 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, where it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. You see, the problem is not money. The problem is the love for money or the craving for money. So money in itself is not something bad. Money in itself is not something that will destroy you. But a craving for it or a love for it, that's a problem. And that's a dangerous place. So if I look at that scripture, what I really see is that it's like God is talking to us about the kind of relationship we're supposed to have towards money. It's not supposed to be a thing of where we crave this, where we need this, where we must have this and more of it. But it must be a place where we rule over it and where it does not rule over us. A second question I want to ask, what is money to you? Is it just something you work for? Is money that thing that we all need to survive? You know, for a lot of people, if you ask them, okay, so what's the thing about money for you? And it's, well, I can't live without it, you know. You must have it. If you don't have it, you can't buy food, you can't buy clothes. It's something we all must have. That's what money is to me. It's something very important. That's what you'll hear a lot of people saying. Now, there we can go to Matthew 6, and we're going to read from verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and is thrown into the oven, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. At the end of the day, I think the important thing to realize here is we need God to survive. We don't need money to survive. We need God to survive. God is the one providing us with everything. Everything we've got, everything we'll ever have, will come from God. And the word that stands out for you, if you read this part of scriptures, this part of scripture, I think like the key word in there is anxious. All over you see the same word where it says, don't be anxious about these things. Because God knows what you need. And you see, so often what happens with us is we get anxious. We start with the what ifs. What if this job doesn't work out? What if this change? What if that change? What if the economy this way, the economy that way? What if? And because of that, we come to that place where we get anxious. And it's like we get into a mode where we think about, okay, we need to gather more. We need to get more together. Because how are we going to survive? How are we going to get through this? But what God is telling us is seek first my kingdom. And all these other things will be added onto you. But you see what happens the moment we get anxious about these other things. That's where our focus then. Then it's not on the kingdom of God. It's not on him. But we put our focus on all these other things. And that's when we get to that place of loving money. Where we develop like a craving for that. It's because of being anxious. And that's why God is calling us to this place where you say, seek first my kingdom. And he gives us a promise, say, if you seek first my kingdom, all these other things will be added onto you. So if you first seek me, these other things will come. But you see, the thing is, what we need to understand, what we need to realize is all these other things coming must be the result or the fruit of the relationship that you've got with Christ. You see, it's something I think we don't always understand is fruit. A lot of times we work for the fruit. We work to get the fruit. But if you think about a tree, the fruit is something that comes off that tree because it's been watered, because it receives sun, because it's got good compost and stuff. Because of that, there is fruit. And it's the same with God, where he's saying, it's basically telling us, seek first my kingdom, and these other things will be added. Those other things must be the fruit. It doesn't help that you've got an apple tree, and you see little apples starting to form. And now you go out every morning, you get up early. You go to your apple tree, and you polish that little apples. It's not going to make a difference. If it doesn't get water, if it doesn't get sun, if it doesn't get compost, that apple is not going to grow. But so often that's what we do, is we look at the fruit in our lives and we realize, okay, but something needs to change here. This fruit needs to grow. So what we do is we put our focus on the fruit instead of on the tree. And it's the same with God. Seek first his kingdom and all these other things will be added onto you. But don't put your focus on the other things. And you know, I really believe with all my heart is it's when we are able to put our focus off this, away from these other things, only then our hearts is in the right place where God can add those things and where he can bless us with those things, because it will not become a distraction. God will never give you stuff that's going to lead you away from him. If those other things will become a distraction in your life, you can pray all you want for it to come, because God loves you. He will not give it to you. And it's not a, we're not talking this morning about receiving earthly things and prosperity, and it's not about that. It's about His kingdom. It's about having a relationship with Him. Out of that, some fruit will come. A lot of things will happen. And not, it's not always good. It's not always easy. But our focus needs to be on His kingdom. So the third question I want to ask is basically, okay, so what then? What are we saying? Are we supposed to say, okay, money doesn't mean anything to me? Are we supposed to say, okay, but, well, you know, money is just something. It comes, it goes. Is that what we're supposed to say? Is that the relationship we're supposed to have with money? And there we can go to Luke 19, and we're going to read from verse 12 up until 26. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered his servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first one came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That last verse, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That verse being used so wrongly, so often. Because a lot of times you'll hear people saying, quoting scripture, saying, but yeah, you see, that guy is so rich. And the Bible says, if you've got, you'll just get more. And the poor one that's struggling, he'll just, even the little bit that he's got, he'll lose that as well. But that's like using scripture out of context. Because God didn't only give us that one verse, He gave us a piece of scripture. That verse is part of a piece of scripture. And what this whole piece of scripture is actually all about is not about the one that's got will have more and the one that doesn't have will have even less. It's not about that. It's about stewardship. And what stewardship is, it is handling what is not yours. It is managing what is not yours. And if we look at this part of scripture and we realize what he's talking about stewardship, what we can see is he's actually telling us, listen, that what I give you, if you steward it well, it will become more. And I will give you more. But if you steward it badly, that it won't become more. But except for that, even the little that you've got will be taken away and it will be given to someone else. That will steward it better. You see, if I look at my business and I've got different people working for me, in my business, what I'll do is I'll say, okay, this one is this productive, that one is that productive. So what will I do? Is the one that's the most productive, I'll give him more than the other one. Why? Because the return is better. He's multiplying what he's got. And basically, it's about that principle where God is telling us what you've got, how are you stewarding it? Are you stewarding it? Because you see, very often we all receive stuff from God, and whether it's money or whether it's certain gifts, how do you steward that? Are you in a place where you are stewarding it? Because so often what happens is we just receive and we do our thing and we carry on. And no, you must give this and must tithe and stuff. No, there's nothing left. But you see, we need to steward what we've got. And God is saying here that when we steward what we've got, it will become more. But too often we're sitting in a place not stewarding the little that we've got, expecting God to make it more. But He's actually waiting on us saying, but no, you need to steward what you've got in your hand. And if you steward what you've got in your hand, if you multiply that, it will become more. And I will be able to add even more to that. But you see, I think the important thing that we need to realize is that everything we've got is not ours. It belongs to God. Now, I know as Christians, we like to say that everything I've got is God's. It's not mine. But do we live that? If we look at our spending, is that what we live? Do we live like everything we've got belongs to God? And I almost want to ask the question, are we even accountable for the way we spend our money? Because remember, if, let's take church or a business, is the same. The people managing that church or managing that business is accountable to other people. Why? Because the money is not theirs. They're only stewarding it. So the money that we receive every month, is it ours or is it God's? And if we say it's God's, why can we not be accountable to other people? I really think it's important for us to, because a lot of us, we struggle in maybe spending, we struggle in saving or all different kinds of stuff. And then it's important for us to be able to talk to someone, to make ourselves accountable to other people, to help us in stewarding what is in our hands, what God has put in our hands. So before we carry on, there's a small clip, a short clip I just want to show you, and then I'll carry on from there.
Dankeschön.
Arigato.
Oh, I couldn't. Well, maybe just a bite.
Oh yeah! All right!
Don't forget the interest.
Thank you.
brought the pie.
Something we want to see, is it? But I think so often that's the picture of our lives. But we don't always want to admit it. And the problem in that clip is God is the one that brought the pie. But it's the same in our lives, is that everything we've got is coming from God. And so often, the end of the day, we'll get to that place where we say, but you know, there's nothing left. You must just understand. But God is the one that gave us the ability to receive income and to grow our income. And that's why I really believe that God is challenging us to a place where we will honor Him also with our finances. Because we honor Him in a lot of ways, but a lot of time not in our finances. And just some interesting stats is in Namibia, more than 90% of people in Namibia claims to be Christian. Now, if you look at the Windhoek, for instance, on average, 1% of people in Windhoek tithe to their churches. 1%. And it's a biblical principle. So why aren't people tithing to their churches if it's a biblical principle? And I really think in the end of the day, it's because we're not walking in freedom there. It's one of those areas I think the church don't want to talk about. But on the other side, that's why we're in bondage there. That's why we're not walking in freedom. And that's something that needs to change. Another interesting fact about Namibia at this stage, do you know what's the fastest growing religion in Namibia? Islam. Fastest growing religion in Namibia. At this stage, 90% Christians, but Islam is the fastest growing religion in Namibia currently. Shocking, isn't it? I want to tell you a true story. It's not a makeup story and it's not a joke. About this guy, Muslim guy, going to the bank, to the bank manager, asking him for a loan to start a new business. But the bank manager knows him, because he's got a lot of businesses. So the bank manager asks him, but you've got a lot of businesses, I'm not sure I understand why you want to open up another business, and this other business of yours that's in such a good condition, everything, you're giving that up as... why is it then that you'll put another business in risk to start this business, but everything's already going well? And what he told the bank manager, he said, but it's not about, I don't need extra money or anything like that. What it's all about is I want to start a clinic. I want to fund a clinic. But to be able to do that, I need to start another business. So I'm starting this extra business to fund that clinic. Now you see, they've got something right here. Because their purpose and their focus for them is on Allah. It's on glorifying Allah for them. It's all about giving Him what He wants, not about getting what you want. So I really think there's something we can learn from them here. Where they do things so that their God can be glorified. In the same sense, I want to ask, do we do things so that our God can be glorified? You see, what he's actually doing there is he's starting another business to help the kingdom of his God. But the stuff that we are doing that's bringing in money and finances, whose kingdoms are we building with it? Are we building God's kingdom with it? Or are we building our own? Because a lot of times what happens is we find ourselves in a place where we earn a certain salary, and in time it grows and grows and grows. But the only thing that changes is not our giving. The only thing that changes is our lifestyle. And if that's the case, then there's a problem. Because then we're building our own kingdoms with our finances. We're not stewarding it to build God's kingdom. And I think what this Muslim guy, what he understands, is that the money in his hand is actually a tool to build kingdom. And we're talking this morning about the relationship that we've got with money and the way we see money, and that's actually the way we're supposed to see money. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to get anxious about. But we need to see money as a tool to build kingdom. Now, I know we can say to each other this morning, and in a sense, maybe get a little bit spiritual by saying, yeah, but remember, the gospel is free. And it's for everyone, and I agree. But we're paying rent every month. The chair you're sitting on, we had to buy it. The sound equipment we're using, we had to buy it. Getting out there, helping people outside of church is costing us money. People inside of church, these people that we're helping, it's costing money. Salaries need to be paid. There's a lot of things. You see, it's easy to say the gospel is free, but to get it somewhere, it costs us something. And if 1% of the church in Windhoek gives a tithe to the church, well, then I understand why the Islam faith is the fastest growing faith in Namibia. Doesn't it make sense to you as well? I want to tell you about Mdavi Fourie. When we were at Rock Lodge the other day, Mdavi Fourie, him and his wife, Krishna, they are the founders of African Leadership Institute. Now, they started that 20 years ago because God gave them a dream of serving Namibia by raising up leaders and also by serving the churches. And the thing about Mdavi and his wife is Mdani used to be the CEO of PricewaterhouseCoopers, and his wife used to be a medical doctor. Now, they gave that up to do what they are doing today. And there's something that he said, and I want to quote him on this, something he said that really just, is when he said it's like it got stuck in my heart. And I quote, "Giving breaks the power of money. If you cannot give 10%, you are in bondage. Giving breaks the power of money. If you cannot give 10%, you are in bondage." That was his words. And I listened to it and I thought to myself, yes, that's kind of hard. But in the end of the day, if I think about it, if God asks us to give 10%, and we cannot do it, are we in freedom? Are we in a place where we can say, but I'm living a free life, I'm not in bondage? Because remember, something is withholding you from doing what God asks you to do. That's bondage. And you see what, I think what's important for us is not to sit here this morning and feel condemned because we're not giving or anything like that. I think the important thing for us for this morning is to come to a place where we need to realize that we're not walking in freedom. We're sitting in this place this morning because God is calling you out of bondage into freedom. That's why we're here. It's because God created us in His image, and because God created us to be free, not to be in bondage. And that's why I decided to talk about this morning, so that, like I said, so that we can start a discussion to get to a place of freedom. But to be able to get to that place of freedom, we need to talk openly about money, about our relationship with money, about our perspective of money, We need to realize that money is actually a tool that is being used to build kingdoms. The only question is whose kingdoms? Because with the Muslim faith, so often you see them with all their different businesses. And it's not for themselves. Because of their faith, remember what they believe is that they believe that they need to work their way into heaven. And that's what they're doing. That's why they're building all that businesses. Now with us, we receive Jesus for free. Yes, being a disciple, being a follower of him will cost you. It will cost you everything. But you receive Jesus for free. You don't have to work your way into salvation. There's no thing of, yeah, but if I don't tithe, then I'm not going to heaven. No, that's not what I'm saying. We don't do certain things. We don't tithe and do and give money and stuff to make God happy so that he loves us more or anything like that. It doesn't work that way. He loves you, whether you give or do not give and all that kind of stuff. But he wants you to walk in freedom on this earth as well. And a lot of times, his money is one of the things that's keeping us away from walking into in a place of freedom. And that's why it's so important that we need to make a step where we step out of that. Scripture here, I want to read John 6, verse 5 and 6. Lifting up his eyes, this is Jesus sitting with the multitudes of people, realizing that they need to feed them. And it says here, lifting up his eyes, then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Verse 6, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. He said this to test him. You know, there's a lot of things happening in our lives that's actually tests. And if we fail the test, we keep on writing the same test. We don't carry on to another place. The scene might be different and that kind of stuff, but we keep on writing the same test. But God don't want us to write the same test over and over and over again. God wants us to be able to succeed and to move out of that place. So God will always test us. If you pass the test, God will give you more tools. Because in the end of the day, that's what we need. We need more tools to build his kingdom. The question is, are you writing the same test over and over, or are you walking in freedom in this area? I can ask the question in a different way as well. Are you ruling over your finances, or are your finances ruling over you? Someone once said the only way that you can break the bondage of money over you is by giving it away. And that's very true. Now, I don't believe that God is calling each of us to, you know, everything you've got just to give it away. Because I don't think that makes you a good steward. But I do believe that sometimes God will challenge you to give away. God challenged us years ago to give away, and we did. But a lot of times, God will challenge us on our monthly salary. Not, okay, give away your salary. Now you sit there, Lord, I gave it all away. Now I can't pay this and I can't pay that. Stewardship is very important. And I almost want to say, if you really feel that God is telling you to give everything away, go talk to someone. Let someone pray with you. Because too often you hear about people doing stupid things and they believe they did it in faith. It's very important to be good stewards. And that's where accountability comes in as well. God is not challenging you to get rid of the money. He's challenging you to steward it, to be a good steward of the money. I want to end off with the last scripture, Exodus 4, verse 1 and 2. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.' The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A staff.'" You see, Moses here, being called by God to bring his people out of bondage, making a lot of excuses of why he cannot go, why he's not capable, why he's not able. And God asked him one question: "What is in your hand?" Because what you need to bring the people out of bondage is already in your hand. That's what I want to use to bring them out of bondage is already in your hand. Now I'm going to say the same words to you this morning. What God needs to bring his people out of bondage today is already in your hand. The question is, how do we use it? And that's why it's so important for us to come to a place where we can have this discussion. Like I said, this morning for me is a conversation starter, because I want to build on this next week, and next week we can talk further about stewardship and about, okay, so we're supposed to steward it out. What does that mean? Where are we supposed to give? How much are we supposed to give? Where, that kind of stuff. Also in your cell groups, probably in the next 2 weeks, you'll be discussing stewardship and talking about stewardship. I really want to challenge you there when you are there to be able to speak to people about it and to talk to people about it openly. I'm not telling you to tell people what's your salary and that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you to, if there's areas in your life where you're struggling, share that with someone. I really believe when we bring stuff out of darkness into the light, then God can work with it. You see, it's in that place where Satan loses grip on it. But too often we don't want to talk about stuff, so we keep it in darkness. And we keep on struggling through life with that issues. But we need to get to a place where we sit down with someone and say, listen, I'm struggling with this thing. Well, I hear you guys saying this, but I don't believe this. I actually believe this. And then look at Scripture together. What does Scripture say? It's important for us to be able to move forward into that place. But it's also important for us to move into a place of freedom when it comes to our finances. So you guys can give out the communion things, and then we'll have communion together.